Living responsibly is not something our current culture has much interest in. Most people prefer to focus on what makes them happy in the short term. But today on Telling the Truth, Stuart Briscoe begins his series, How to Live a Productive Life, and shares the powerful truth that a productive life is one that is lived responsibly. In her powerful six-message series, Searching, Jill Briscoe explores the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes to answer your heart's deepest questions, such as, why do I matter? Where do I find joy? And what do I really want? We'll send you a copy of this resource as thanks for your gift today to help others experience life in Christ. This offer ends this week, so call today to request your copy of Searching, 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart with his message, How to Act Responsibly.
You remember that the old Jacob's summary of Joseph was that he was a fruitful vine. We interpret that to mean that he had lived a productive life. And we've been exploring the various aspects of this productive life. And one of the things that we'll note today is this. The productive life is the life that is lived responsibly. Now, responsible and responsibility are clearly related to the word response. To give a response to somebody is to give an answer to somebody. And so to be responsible is to be answerable. To be responsible is to be accountable. Now, this is a theme that is not a particularly a favorite theme in our culture at the present time. People, quite frankly, are more interested in making sure that their rights are met rather than they're interested in seeing that their responsibilities are fulfilled. There seems to be a very, very clear understanding in Scripture. The only way our rights will be met is when people fulfill their responsibilities. And that is the emphasis of the Bible. So we should not be reluctant to address this whole subject of being responsible, of being accountable, of being answerable. Scripture is very straightforward about this. This is what it says. We must all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Another time, Jesus told a parable, and the parable is applicable to all of us, and it said that one day we will stand before the Master and give an account of our stewardship. Now, this is encouraging. It is very, very encouraging to know that God is going to judge us. Now, you probably say, would you like to go over that a little more slowly? Did you actually say it is very encouraging that God is going to judge us? Yes, I did. And I believe it. Let me tell you why. The thing that is encouraging to me about the knowledge that God is going to judge me, God is holding me accountable, is this, that he is taking careful note of what I do. He is keeping records of what I do. He is evaluating what I do. You say, that's encouraging. That frightens me to death. Oh, yes, it encourages me. I'll tell you why. Because if he is taking careful note of what I do, it means that everything I do is worth God's attention. Everything I do is worth God's attention? Yeah. If God takes careful note of everything I do and evaluates it, it means that everything I do is significant enough for God to evaluate it. If everything I do is noteworthy by God and everything I do is worth evaluating by God because he regards it as significant, guess what? I must be incredibly significant. I'm worth watching by heaven. I'm worth evaluating by heaven. The thing that assures me that my life matters is that it matters to God enough for him to evaluate it. We will be held accountable. We will be held answerable. We are created responsible people. Let's embrace it. Now, when we look into the story of Joseph, I think it's rather obvious that we can see some reasons why Joseph had come to the conclusion he should accept responsibility. He was surrounded by people in deep physical need. And surrounded by people in deep physical need, he himself had an abundance of resources that could help alleviate the physical need around him. Now, I can't say this for sure, but I do know that in the days in which Joseph lived, the stories of the forefathers were passed on from generation to generation. We have the account of what happened in the book of Genesis, and this must have been an oral tradition before it was eventually put down in written form. So probably as a boy, Joseph and his brothers had heard the stories of their forefathers. No doubt they'd heard the stories of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel got into a fight, you remember, and then God asked Cain a question, "Where's your brother?" And Cain's answer has been reverberating down through human society ever since. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer that is clearly implied in that scripture is, yes, you sure are. For we are not individuals living individualistic lives. We are members of society. We are members of community. We are wired up for relationships. And no human being is an island. No human being is complete and entire in and of himself or herself. We are created for relating, and we are to relate responsibly. Am I my brother's keeper? Joseph probably thinks as he looks at the starving people around him and he looks at his barns stacked with food. And he says, yes, I am. It would be unconscionable of me to have these resources available and for me to close up my heart of compassion as far as these people are concerned. I think it's relatively easy for us to say in our neighborhood, occasionally we come across people in need. And we have available to us some of the things that could help alleviate their needs. Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is yes. We do have a degree of responsibility to reach out to them. It wasn't just the physical needs that were there. There were some obvious emotional needs as well. When the brothers came before Joseph, they, of course, didn't recognize him. He recognized them immediately, and he could see etched in their faces and in their eyes a sense of hopelessness, a sense of overwhelming inability to cope. We know this was the case because the only reason they'd gone down to Egypt was that their old dad Jacob had sent them. They didn't want to go there. In fact, old man Jacob said to his big, hairy sons one day, "Why are you sitting here looking at each other?" That's what happens, of course, when people have given up. That's what happens when people are so distraught and so distressed and so depressed, they don't know what to do, and they decide they don't know what to do, nothing can be done, so they sit and look at each other. The old man had more fire in his bones than the collective bones of all his sons. And he said, "You get yourselves down to Egypt." But the fact of the matter is this. When Joseph is confronted by these men who are suffering not only from physical deprivation, he also sees some men who are suffering from emotional depression and discouragement. And he has available to him that which can give them hope. That which can give them hope. And the question is this. If I have the resources that could give hope to the hopeless and a future to those who feel there is no future, and if I have available to me that which can lift them onto a higher plane and help them lift up their head and put a brightness in their eyes again and a smile on their face and help turn their life around, don't I have a responsibility to do it? And the answer is, of course I do.
Today on Telling the Truth, Stuart Briscoe is sharing how a life lived responsibly is critical to having a productive life. Advertisements promise happiness if you'll buy what they're selling. Success, money, and relationships promise fulfillment if you can attain them. But when your heart is longing for something real, something that truly satisfies, none of these deliver. That's because the deepest longings of your soul aren't found in anything the world has to offer, but they are waiting for you in Scripture. Joel Briscoe wants to help you discover the hope, purpose, and security your heart is searching for in her 6-message series, Searching. This powerful study examines the book of Ecclesiastes to help you find the serenity, sense of wisdom, significance, satisfaction, and security you've been searching for. This enlightening resource is our thanks for your gift today to help reach more people around the world with the message of God's love through the resources and teaching of Telling the Truth. But remember that this offer ends this week, so call today to request your copy of the Searching series, 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection, but we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Telling the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app. Now, here's Stuart once again.
There's a third thing, I think, that stimulated his desire to act responsibly to his brothers. Did you notice that when the conversation took place among the brothers, they very quickly identified the problems that they were experiencing as being a direct result of something they'd done 13 years earlier? The reason we're having this problem with this man from Egypt is that we sold our brother into slavery. You see, that came to the surface immediately they were under pressure. You know what happens when we're under pressure? Those guilt feelings, that we thought we'd carefully chloroformed, those guilt feelings that we imagined we'd carefully put out of the way, those things in the past that we thought we'd managed to eradicate from memory, raise their ugly heads again. And there's nothing quite so debilitating as feelings of spiritual guilt compounded by emotional depression in the midst of physical deprivation. That's a needy people. People living in those kind of circumstances need help. Would it be true to say that in our world today, there are not only people in physical need and people who are emotionally depressed? Would it also be true to say that there are people who are carrying a monumental load of spiritual guilt, feelings of shame? And this guilt and these feelings of shame are generating within them all kinds of emotions and all kinds of actions and all kinds of bizarre behavior. And they don't even understand themselves why they're behaving the way they're behaving. And very often the reason is unresolved guilt. And the wonderful thing about the Christian message is that we can point people to the place where they can confess their guilt. They can expose their shame. They can be utterly forgiven and told by the God who alone can forgive sins that they are forgiven, that they're restored, that they're renewed, that their sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, that they have been cast into the depths of the sea, and God himself promises, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. And the guilt is taken away. And the shame feelings begin to wither and die, and they start to live in newness of life. Do we have a responsibility to people who are overwhelmed by feelings of guilt when we understand forgiveness? Do we have a responsibility to people who are emotionally depressed when we know that there is hope? Do we have a responsibility to those in physical need when we have the resources available to us that we could share with them? And the answer is an emphatic yes. But there's a fourth thing. When we look at the way the brothers behave to each other, not only do we see that quickly the feelings of shame and guilt erupt, but very, very quickly when the pressure is on, they begin to get after each other as well. There are all kinds of relational difficulties here. And so it ever was. And so it is in our culture at the present time. There are untold, unresolved relational problems that are draining the energy out of people, that are taking them into situations that hinder them from being all that they could be. And in the believing community, there are dynamics available to us that can help bring healing in fractured relationships. And when that is the case, do we simply say, tough, they're having problems? Or do we seek in the name of Christ to be involved in them? Do we accept responsibility for other people whom we could help? Am I my brother's keeper? I believe the answer to Scripture is this, yes. There's a very real sense in which I'm accountable and answerable to God for the way I conducted myself in my community. Joseph teaches me that. But it isn't that Joseph accepts responsibility because of the human condition. He accepts responsibility because he also has a sense of the divine plan. We don't know how this dawned on Joseph, but we do know that he was given to having dreams that in those days were one of the ways in which God communicated with people. We do know that he had the gift to interpret the dreams, and we do know that his interpretation of dreams always had to do with the purposes of God as he dealt with men and women down here on earth. So here's a man who has a sense of God being active in human affairs. That's critically important. Here's a man who has a clear sense of God being active in human affairs. There are a lot of people who believe in God, but he's a God who's totally remote and fundamentally irrelevant, who does not intervene in human affairs. That's not Joseph. Joseph has come to the conclusion that God has a plan, that there is a sense in which the sovereign Lord has a macro plan for the world that he created. He's beginning to discover something of that as he sat around the campfire listening to the great oral histories passed down by his father and his uncles. He'll have heard the story of Abraham, how Abraham was brought by God into the land of promise. And God said, this land is going to be yours one day, Abraham, but not for a few hundred years. And God explained why the land was promised, but not for a few hundred years. God had explained that there were two reasons. Reason number one, Abraham and his followers were not strong enough militarily to possess the land. Reason number two, the people in Canaan were not bad enough to deserve being expelled from the land. But God, knowing the end from the beginning, knows this. Give them both a few hundred years, and the children of Israel will be strong enough, and the people of Canaan will be bad enough. And when they're bad enough and they're strong enough, that will be the time for the people to move into the land of promise. This would have been part of the tradition passed down to Joseph. This he would have begun to grasp and understand in the oral history of his people. But there was something more than that. God, of course, as he unfolds his great historical story, has not only got to have somewhere where his people can grow and develop in very large numbers, and the place where that was going to happen was Egypt. Before he could get them into Egypt, he had to get the beginnings of them into Egypt. And of course, he had great plans about getting them out of Egypt in the Exodus. Before he could get them out, he had to get them in. And you know what Scripture says? Focusing in a remarkable way, it said, God sent one man into Egypt. He eventually will bring out a mighty army in the great Exodus that is the crucial moment in Jewish history, that to which they constantly refer in their history, that to which all their ceremonies look back, the great Exodus. And the Exodus was only possible, and the military might of the children of Israel was only possible because they'd been in Egypt, and they could only be in Egypt because God sent one man, Joseph, there. And so Joseph puts all this together and he says, on the one hand, God has a macro plan and I am a micro part of it. That is a profound insight for any human being. God has a macro plan and I am a micro part of it. And so anybody who believes that will say to themselves, what I need to do is to be as clear as I possibly can about what my place in the macro plan, in all my micro insignificance, really is. What role do I play? What is it that God wants me to do? Finding that out and doing it responsibly has to be the key to my life.
Stuart will be back with some final thoughts in just a moment. King Solomon spent a lifetime learning that lasting happiness can't be found in possessions, success, money, or relationships. What he discovered millennia ago is still true today. Your heart's deepest longings are found only in God and His Word. That's the subject of Jill Briscoe's six-message series, Searching, which is our thanks for your gift today to help more people experience life through the resources of telling the truth. Walk with Jill as she looks at Solomon's life in the book of Ecclesiastes to help you find the serenity, wisdom, satisfaction, and security you've been searching for. Generous friends like you keep broadcasts like this one going, reaching others with God's love and grace so they can live with purpose and significance in Jesus. So if you haven't given before, consider a gift today to help keep God's word going out around the world to you and many others. And remember to request your copy of Searching when you call and give. But don't wait, because the special offer on this resource ends very soon. Call 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Stuart with some closing thoughts about living responsibly.
So why should we be interested in acting responsibly? And the answer is we should act responsibly in response to human need, for which we have some answers. We should act responsibly because we understand the divine plan and we have been caught up into it and we have an overwhelming desire to fulfill responsibly the part that has been given to us. What is it going to take for us to do these things? First of all, it's going to mean that we're prepared to look, as Joseph did, at his world through God's eyes. The natural tendency is for us to look at our world through our lenses. Joseph could have looked at his world through his lenses and said, I've had nothing but grief for all these years. And now I've won the lottery. Yeah! I'm going to enjoy my lottery. That he could have done. And there's many a person would have done exactly that. And Joseph said, God has brought me to this place at this time. He's given me this opportunity. He's given me these abilities. He's invested in me these resources. And he's done all that not for me. He's done all that in order that his eternal purposes might be worked out. And I'm going to look at my world through his eyes. Which means, in addition, that I'm going to believe that I'm in this place and he knows where I am. And that I'm in this place with his full knowledge. And therefore, I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. Moreover, I'm going to accept the fact that he would never put me in a situation and tell me to do something without giving me the resources to do it. So I will discover more and more of what he makes available to me. And finally, I will conduct myself responsibly in the area of my influence, fully understanding that one day I will stand before God and he will look at me and he will say, now, give an account of your stewardship. Final question. It's a searching question. As I look at my life and I think of living it responsibly, would I say that I am delivering what God expects and what my world deserves?
Thanks, Stuart. Before we go, we want to remind you that through the end of this week only, when you give to support Telling the Truth broadcasts like this one, we'll say thanks by sending you Jill Briscoe's six-message series, Searching. This encouraging resource will help you uncover the source for lasting significance and satisfaction straight from God's Word. Again, the special offer ends this week, so please request your resource when you call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Next time on the show, Stuart Briscoe shares a powerful message about how to deal with change in a healthy way. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.